Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Now Bali podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Spears, and this week we're going to discuss the right way to promote Bali. Yes, it's a big topic, and really the answers are subjective. However, as right now it's quiet in Bali, tourism at a standstill due to the COVID-19 outbreak, it's actually the perfect moment to step back and reflect as an island. A rare moment where all the machines have turned off and stopped worrying, allowing us to say, wait, are we doing this right? Is the design that we've pushed into this machine actually the best design? Before we open the floodgates again, perhaps it's best to rethink the way in which we approach the promotion of tourism on the island. Tourism, as we all know, is the lifeblood of Bali. Thus, promoting Bali in the right way actually ensures that we receive the types of tourists that are best for the island. What you give is what you get. So let's jump straight into today's subject, promoting Bali the right way. Enjoy the show. Let me start off with a little bit of background to Now Bali, because really, this shapes the narrative. Like I said, what determines the right way is subjective. And today I'm sharing the perspective of Now Bali on this topic. You may have your own opinions, of course, which we'd love to hear. So, we first published in 2009, and when we did, we started with a set of rules. One of which was that every monthly issue had to have at least 40% culture or nature-based articles. Why this focus on sharing cultural stories? Well, a lot of visitors actually don't get to experience or fully appreciate the depth and complexity of Balinese culture during their time here. They see a dance here and there, visit a museum, maybe, hear a story or two from a Balinese friend. But other than that, the average visitor's exposure to it is relatively shallow. That's why we felt our magazine was an opportunity to show off what Bali is all about. And not only show off, but educate with the help of our expert contributors. Here's the thing, and this is something we experience beyond travel, but everything gets better once it's explained. Once we understand the whole story and the deeper meaning. Let's use art as an example. Seeing a painting is one thing. You can appreciate its visuals. But when the artist explains the thoughts and emotions or the motivations of the piece, it suddenly has so much more value for the viewer. You genuinely see it with different eyes. So understanding builds appreciation. This is something that the previous but long-standing CEO of the English Heritage Society, Simon Thurley, understood. In 2005, the Heritage Society created a 5-year strategy, which stated, English heritage exists to make the past a part of our future. Our strategy is to create a cycle of understanding, valuing, caring, and enjoying. This was the birth of the heritage cycle, which is basically a positive feedback loop which strengthens people's appreciation of culture. Here's how the cycle goes. By understanding the historic environment, people value it. By valuing it, they want to care for it. By caring for it, this will help people enjoy it. By enjoying the historic environment comes a thirst to understand it. This brings us back to understanding, then creating value, and so on, and the cycle continues. This can be applied to culture here in Bali. The British have done an immaculate job of preserving and promoting their history, such as their castles and ruins, and they've made great money out of it through tourism, helping to keep it all maintained. They've created interactive and informative museums, kept their artifacts in immaculate condition, and have truly made immersive experiences that have people leaving feeling wowed. The thing is, Bali is actually at a huge advantage. Not only does it have history like Britain, it has a living culture, one that can be seen and witnessed on a daily basis, not just told or reenacted in a museum. We have archaeological destinations like Goa Gajah or Gunung Kawi, which was said to be constructed as far back as 1080 AD. We have stunning religious sites like Uluwatu, Goa Lawa, Tanalot, Tirta Umpul. We have art in buckets, dance and music, carving and textiles, ceremonies, prayers and priests. The list goes on and on and on. But unlike in the UK, these experiences are not well managed. They are not curated to be sleek and seamless. They do not always inspire further curiosity when they should. Bali is lucky, as what it has to offer is not just a photo in front of the ruins, or what our contributor Bruce Granquist calls an ethnic architectural tourist destination. It is a dynamic and lived experience of a place. This is what should be highlighted, because in a forever shrinking and homogenizing world, it is these traits that make Bali stand out amongst other destinations. This takes us to our second point. In recent years, the messages being received by the world about Bali has actually been dominated by the island's lifestyle offerings. Hotels, resorts, beach clubs, bars, these amazing accommodation and entertainment destinations are luring in visitors with the promises of spectacular experiences. And they really are spectacular. On top of that, travel and lifestyle influencers are invited by these same businesses and help to promote their services. Now, don't get me wrong. This is great for Bali's economy, attracting worldwide travelers to the island. And the numbers have shown that this is working. Rooms were filling up, beach clubs were pumping, and the splash-off effect on the economy is visible. So if the economy is good, what's the problem? It's a good question. The only issue is the why people end up coming to Bali. When all they are seeing is breakfast in the pool, couples in flower baths, cocktails under the sun, we're actually diminishing the scope of Bali's offerings to lifestyle, luxury, and indulgence. The rest, the real Bali, is overshadowed by the things that shine and glow and sparkle. You might be thinking, so what? What's the problem? Why is this an issue? Well, in tourism, you have two areas, the primary attraction and the supporting industries. Let's take Angkor Wat, the primary attraction to Siem Reap in Cambodia. The hotels and restaurants are the supporting industries of this primary attraction. By promoting our supporting industries over our primary attraction, we're actually diminishing the island's unique selling points. Bali itself is not the reason to come to Bali. Instead, a certain hotel or beach club is. If we do this, then what separates Bali from other lifestyle destinations? What gives us the edge over Ibiza, Santorini, or Koh Phangan? Okay, sure, yes. Influencers do share photos of Bali. Waterfalls, clinking beach in Nusa Penida, Tirta Umpul Holy Spring, Tegalalang Rice Terraces. You've seen the usual roster on your social media feeds. But often they don't share any insight or knowledge that creates an understanding of the place they are in. It's beautiful, yes. But what this does is again reduce Bali to a purely visual attraction, making the island a place for a quick visit and a simple photo op. People end up going to the same places just for that same photo. Then it's off to the next spot. The thing is, when it comes to tourism, we want the kind of people who come to a destination for the destination. When we create a model or a product that advocates photo op tourism like this, we invite people who come to a destination because of what that destination can do for them. That's what Bali has become. Or was becoming a criteria on the how to be an influencer checklist. I've done the 5 classic spots in Bali, that should get me another 500 followers. People should come here because they want to experience and learn about the special place that Bali is. Okay, I'm sounding like an old man. Or more accurately, I'm sounding like my old man. The thing is, Bali has developed an amazing array of offerings, which include sensational dining, jaw-dropping beach clubs, luxurious hotels, stunning yoga retreats and spas. All of this matters in creating a world-class tourist destination. The reason Bali has become such a favorite and popular place is because there is literally something for everyone. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't share the quality of these supporting industries with the world. I'm saying that our primary message should be, we are Bali. We are rich in culture and nature and heritage, but we also have the finest hotels and restaurants to make you feel comfortable whilst you discover the richness of this island. By putting supporting industries at the forefront only creates further motivation to develop and overcrowd. Rolling over the palm trees and paddy fields to make way for a brand new hotel, which will no doubt offer flower baths and breakfast in the pool like everyone else. It's Johnny Mitchell's big yellow taxi. They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. By putting culture, nature, and heritage at the forefront, then we say, this matters to us. Let's protect this. If we keep these in pristine condition, tourists will come forever to witness their beauty. Fads come and go. Luxury looks the same everywhere. But to inspire and enlighten through history and culture, that has an everlasting effect. And that will be a standout brand for Bali, one that shines above other destinations. So, let's go back to the English Heritage Society's strategy and readapt it for Bali. Balinese culture and heritage exists to make the past and present a part of our future. So let's protect that by telling the world, this is what we want you to see, because we value it and we know that you will too. Everyone for listening in to another episode of the Now Bali podcast. A little bit different as we share a more opinion-based piece this week. Of course, we'd love to hear other perspectives out there, so message us and tell us what you think. Now, as this podcast is quite new, we'd love to hear some feedback on what you like. Did you enjoy hearing our opinion pieces? Do you prefer our cultural stories? Please let us know by sending us an email at nowbali@phoenix.co.in. That's it for another week. This podcast was recorded at Genesis Creative Center, a multidisciplinary creative hub home to a multitude of studios located in Brawa. Thanks again, Genesis. This is Eddie Spears signing off for the Now Bali podcast. See you next time.